Good morning. It is great to be with you. You know, I knew that Mary was smart, but I am convinced more than ever, because in most churches, the Sunday after Easter is called Low Sunday. And look what's going on here today. I'm just waiting for next Sunday to see what happens then. It is just such a joy to be with you here today on your 125th anniversary. Incredible, amazing. And I've been here about 7 months and beginning to see familiar faces out in the congregation. I want to offer a special welcome to my wife, Wink, who is here, and your district superintendent, D.D. Roberts. And I also want to ask for prayer, because they are sitting together. And so if I do one of these, would one of the ushers go and separate them, please, while I'm preaching, okay? Mary shared some of the history of this church, and I was so intrigued by how personal it is for her and for Tony. Mary's grandfather was pastor of this church, and Tony's grandparents were members of this church, and as nearly as they can tell, her grandfather baptized Tony's father in this church. I always knew everyone was related to everyone in Arkansas, but there you go. It is such an important day for me. You may not know this, but Asbury is filled with folks and events that are really firsts for me. This is the first anniversary I have preached since being in Arkansas. I preach 3 out of every 4 Sundays, but it's the first anniversary. This congregation has 2 attorneys, Tony and Michelle Ader, chancellor and vice chancellor. Their job is to keep me out of trouble. And so I had my very first legal conversations with 2 of your folks. I'm sure not the last either. We were here the second Sunday we were in Arkansas, and that Sunday marked the first time our alarm went off at the Episcopal residence, and we got here and saw that and hurried home and then came back, and I thought I had snuck in late, but Mary saw us. And then, not to hurt anyone's feelings, but most importantly, Clef Vaughn in your church helped me play my first game of golf in Arkansas. To God be the glory. So I join in a time of joy with you and deep honor at being here. And as I heard the beautiful music of the bells and the children and the chancel choir, my heart was filled. And I've got to tell you that if more churches had hymns of meditation, like Marching to Zion, seriously, our church would be so alive and filled with the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't have to worry about how we're going to reach out into the mission field. A powerful reminder I will always remember. I want you to hear these words from the Gospel of Matthew. They come at the very end of that gospel. Jesus' final words in Matthew to his disciples. And I want you to hear them, if possible, as if you're hearing them for the very first time. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Lord God, we are grateful for this day. We are grateful for 125 years of service and ministry. And we are grateful for all those who came before us here in this church who faithfully heard those words and responded. May what happens here through celebration, through sacrament, through fellowship, not just be a once in every 125 year occasion, but it may it be the vision of what you call Asbury to be every single day of every week of every year for the next 125 years. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and let the church together say, amen. Amen. As I was looking at some of the history of Asbury, I noticed that it started in a creamery with 10 people, and then moved to a tent, and then they built a building, and then built another building, and somewhere along there, there was a fire, and they moved into a planing store, which I assumed had something to do with lumber. If not, it's illegal, and I don't want to know about it. And then built another beautiful building, and then finally ended up here in West Little Rock. Now, why did this church move so many times? I mean, was it something in the water? I don't think so. Did the congregation just love to move? No, promise you that's not the case. Why did this church move? Well, maybe it's because you wanted more parking and better air conditioning in the sanctuary. Well, maybe, but I don't think that's it either. I think Asbury has kept on the move because it was taking seriously those words Jesus spoke that we know as the Great Commission. And Asbury was always focused on the mission field. And knew that if it was going to reach out into the mission field to bring the good news of Jesus Christ, to make disciples who would change the world, it had to reach out and build and move, or it would stay still and die. It's those words that were nearly 1900 years old from Jesus when this church began that fueled it. It was those words that those folks took to heart and sacrificed and worked hard and never let up. Those words from Jesus to go into all the world and make disciples, to go into the mission field and share Christ's love. Those words began shaping the DNA of this church 125 years ago. And I believe, and I'm absolutely serious about this, I believe that Jesus wants them to shape Asbury for the next 125 years. And those are powerful words. They propelled the earliest disciples out into the mission field when the Holy Spirit came. They have helped the church literally go around the world. They have shaped the mission of the United Methodist Church so that our mission now is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And in Arkansas, here to do it with excellence and passion. Those are powerful words from Jesus. But let me tell you why I think they're really powerful. Because Jesus is speaking them to you anew, Asbury United Methodist Church. And he's speaking them here. And he's speaking them now. And he wants you to hear them and to take them to heart and to respond in this place. Because it begins here. He's telling you to get up and go out into the mission field that surrounds this church and continues to the other side of the globe and share the good news of Jesus Christ. He's calling you to help people know how much Jesus loves them and that he wants to be a part of every stage and everything that happens in their lives, every part of their lives, wholly and completely. He wants you to help people be so transformed by that love of Christ that they begin to live the Jesus way, knowing grace and forgiveness and healing and hope and compassion and passion for justice. And he wants you to know that on those days when you're smart enough to know you can't do it on your own, and maybe you've tried and failed miserably, that he's got your back. And he's going to help you do what he calls you to do. He's going to help you do what you cannot do on your own. He is always with you. Now, I got to tell you, for me, those are not just words. I believe them from the bottom of my heart. They are the heart and soul of my ministry. They are my personal mission. They direct me, and they have for 25 years. It took me a few years as a young preacher to get it first. Was that you? Oh, Nathan, my boy. He's so much smarter than me. He got it way before I did. Amen? Amen. But I want to be real with you. That I think something's happened in the church. I think we've heard those words so often, and they've become just kind of slogans and jargon and programs, and we've got this bureaucracy and these institutions, and they've lost their power. They are impotent. And we say them, and we feel good, and we hear them, and we say, oh yeah, but look at our churches. And so what I want to do is de-jargonize them, de-institutionalize them, de-sloganize them, and de-bureaucratize them, and tell you what I think Jesus is truly saying to you, Asbury. And I want to do it in the same way Jesus did it, by telling you a story. And it's a true story. Well, except for the part I make up along the way. But it really is true, and it really did happen to us. In fact, it happened at 3 o'clock in the morning, the day after we worshiped with you. I hadn't made that connection yet, but I was sleeping soundly, and I heard my wife Wink say, "Gary, Gary." And yeah, I thought I was having a dream. And she thinks I responded the way I usually respond to her. I just went back to sleep. And then I heard again with a little more force, "Gary, Gary." And there was some panic in her voice. And so I said, "Where are you?" And she said, "I'm in the bathroom." So I walked into our bathroom in the bedroom, and it was dark, and she wasn't there. I said, "Where are you?" She said, "The other bathroom." And so I walked down the hall, and I could see the light coming out of the bathroom, and it was bright. And I walked in, and the first thing I saw was a jet of water from under the sink going across and hitting the other wall. Like a fire hydrant when they open them up. I mean, it was this big. And I looked at her and I said, in my brilliance, because I was a brand new bishop and I knew I was brilliant, I said, "We got to do something about this." And she said, "You think?" And so I said, "We got to call someone." And she said, "Yeah." And she said, "Listen, go outside." And this just shows how much smarter she is than I am. She said, "Go outside and find the water valve shut off and turn it off." Now, I had awakened by this point. And I'm thinking, I don't know where the water valve shut off is. But I'm going to say what I know I should always say when I hear her speaking to me that way. "Yes, dear." And so I put on some flip-flops and a t-shirt, and I went out with a flashlight looking. And, you know, we have a hilly lot, and there are shrubs and trees and wild animals and lions and tigers. And, you know, and I go around, and I can't find it. And I come back in, and I say, I can't find it. And she says, I will go find it. And she took the flashlight. And as soon as she left, it had to be a God thing, but I had this vision come into my mind from my childhood, which, if you're interested, was only about, you know, 18 years ago when I was a small child. And she, you know, I had this image of this story I had heard as a child about the little Dutch boy who put his thumb in the dike. Those of you who know that story are as old or older than I am. I just want to go on record with that. And so I said, I can do this. So I looked under the sink, and what had happened to start this flood was a piece had blown out of the pipe. So I thought, I'll put it back in. So I got down on my knees, and I took that piece, and I put it in there, and it was really hard against the force of water, and I finally got it in. Of course, it's spraying on me the whole time. And I get it in, and I say, whew. And then I think, oh, my gosh, what do I do now? And so I'm there like this. And it's hard work keeping it in, and every moment or so it'll shift, and the water comes out at me and gets me wet. And in a moment, Wink comes in, and she says to me, I found the shutoff valve. And I'm going, oh, no. And she said, but I couldn't turn it off. And I said, thank you, Jesus. And I said, we got to call someone. And so I said, call Todd Burris. He's our administrative officer for the conference, who's in charge of working with us on the Episcopal residence. And he said, call me if there's anything you ever need with the house. And so I said, get my cell phone and call him. And she did. And I learned that day how smart Todd Burris is. He did not answer his phone. And then I said, call Phil Hathcock. Now, Phil is the director of Connectional Ministries, my clergy assistant, and on the Friday before, he said, if you need anything, Bishop, you just call me. And so Wink did, and I learned that day how unsmart Phil Hathcock is. He answered his phone, and he said, I'll be there in 15 minutes, and so I'm there 5 minutes. Oh, my knees are hurting. 10 minutes, my legs are aching. 15 minutes, my hands are hurting. 20 minutes, I'm saying, Phil doesn't know how to tell time. And he comes and walks in, and he looks down at me, and he has this look like, I really want to laugh at you, but I don't know you well enough to laugh at you yet. Are you with me there? And he says, I got the tool, I'll go shut it off. And so I'm sitting there, and I said, hurry, this is hard. And he goes out, and he's gone a minute or so, and he comes back in, and he says, I got it. And I said, oh, good. And I let it down, and he says, quote, I guess I turned off the sprinkler system. I'll go shut off the valve. And I said, Phil, remember something. He said, what, Bishop? I make your appointment. And he went out and came back, and a moment later said, I got it. And I this time went a little slower, and it had been shut off. And so I slowly got up, stretched, and then it hit me. I was doing something really important. I was stopping the flood from getting worse, right? But it was only when Phil went outside of the house to the shutoff valve and turned it off that the job got done. My sisters and brothers, that's what Jesus is saying. Great things happen when you come to the house of the Lord. Study and worship, and fellowship, and prayer, and caring for children and youth, and planning, and yes, raising money. But, it's only when you get up and go outside the church into the mission field to share Jesus' love that you are getting the job done. I've researched this.
Jesus did not say, go into fellowship hall and have a potluck supper. Well, he did in the Methodist version of the Bible, but that's another thing. He said, go into all the world and make disciples. Jesus did not say, sign up for every Bible study offered in the church, because what will get you to heaven is knowing more than anyone else. He said, go into all the world and make disciples. Jesus did not say, find the church where you like the architecture, where you like how the preacher dresses, where you like the music, where you feel comfortable because everyone else looks like you. He said, go into all the world and make disciples. That's what Asbury started doing 125 years ago. And you can continue that for the next 125 years. If you understand that you are not just a club, an organization, a service group, a fellowship club, but the living, breathing body of Christ, called by Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit to continue Jesus' ministry. It begins here. Began 125 years ago with the founders of Asbury, who understood that Jesus called them to go out into the neighborhood and share the gospel with all kinds of people, people who didn't look like them and didn't act like them, but needed God's love. And it can continue for the next 125 years if you are willing to go out into your community and get bigger and bigger and broader, reaching out to people who don't look like you, who don't speak like you, who don't think like you, who don't dress like you. It begins here. It began 125 years ago. When Asbury Church understood that it was about sharing Jesus' love. Love that starts with real life and real needs, whether that's hunger or education or grief work. But then continues with sharing the good news of Jesus' love. That you don't separate helping and the hope of Christ for eternity. And it will continue for the next 125 years. If you take that good news of the gospel out into the community that is dying to get it, even if it does not yet understand that. But let me tell you, there's only one way that you can continue what began 125 years ago. One way. And it's true for you and the person sitting next to you and the person across the pew and across the aisle and the person who goes to another worship service. It's true for your leaders. It's true for your staff. It's true for your senior pastor. You can only share what you have experienced, right? You can only truly share what you have given yourself to. You can only truly share what you have made a commitment to. You can only truly share what has changed you. And that means it begins with you, Asbury Church, but it really begins with Jesus. It always begins with Jesus. A relationship with God through faith. As a gift. It began 125 years ago, Asbury. It can continue for another 125 years and beyond. It begins here with the love of Jesus, with hearing Jesus' words, with your willingness to hear Jesus say to you, get up, go out, find the mission field, share Jesus' love, make disciples, help them know how much they are loved, help them live the Jesus way. And together, those new disciples and those of us here will transform lives and transform the world with the love and power of Jesus Christ. Amen.